blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 11, stanzas 1 through 4. O Jehovah, hear my words. To my thoughts attentive be. Hear my cry, my King, my God. I will make my prayer to thee. 1 through 4 of Psalter number 11. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in Psalm 115. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 115. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. And they have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mrs. Anita Slingerland, who was in the hospital in this past week, and also Dustin Grisnick, who was taken back to Calgary this morning. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, eternal God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who givest us the opportunity, thou who givest us maybe a desire, but at least the custom and the habit to come up in this morning to thy house of prayer. And thou who art the King of kings, thou who art the Lord of lords, and thou who hast instituted this means in order that thou may receive honor and glory, and that men may learn to sing as we have read also of thy servant, not unto us. Not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. Lord, thou hast brought us together in this morning. Oh, that thou may also give such a song to be born in the heart of each and every one of us. Lord, we have read together that the idol gods are no gods. They have eyes, but they do not see, and they have ears, but they cannot hear, and they have mouths, but they cannot speak through their throats. Lord, they are impotent, but thou art the Almighty God, and thy hand that is not shortened that it cannot save, and thine ear heavy that it cannot hear. Lord, what shall the heathen say when we as a congregation would yet remain dead in sins and in trespasses? When we as a congregation would have no life and heart different than that of the world? When the world cannot see that there is a distinction between us and them, but that we also are of the earth, earthy. Lord, what shall then the heathen say of thy might? What shall they say of thy power? What shall they say of that truth that we do profess to have? And that we say it is the truth of God, that is of the living God, who is almighty. Lord, what shall then the heathen say? Then they shall mock. Then they shall say, you are no different than we are. And then your God also has no ears to hear. and he has no mighty hand, O Lord. Wilt thou glorify thy own name, and that thy truth may be used among us, and that also there may be lights in this world living in the midst of us, even candles upon a candlestick, that the world also may see, and that they may say it is a people that do fear and that do love and that do serve the true and the living God. Oh, then thy name will be glorified in the midst of this world. Lord, it is in the midst of a wicked and a perverse generation, and that is even in an outward way, that we all have it living in our hearts. But thou withdrawest thy hand, even in the days in which we live, so that man is permitted to live out all that evil that dwells within. Lord, may thou remember us and our dear children. Oh, grant that true conversion that we cannot miss, that also our dear children may be given to see that it is thy truth, and that we come to gather to worship the true and the living God. Oh, that also our young people may see that there is a difference with the people of the Lord and with the truth that is according to godliness, and that which is brought in so many places, wherein man receives at least part of the glory. O Lord, wilt thou then work with might and with power? That is our only hope. That is our only plea. And thou art the only one who can give it. Lord, we don't deserve it. O, thou hast given it in the days of our fathers, then they may speak of the wondrous ways of the Lord, and their life was a testimony thereof. Oh, thou broughtest them so low in the depths of humility, so that thou would receive all the honor and all the glory. Oh, that thou may also do so today, even in the days that we live in with our children. Lord, bestow upon us thy favor so undeservedly. Make us to see our state and condition by nature, oh, that we may begin silently to weep before thee, that we may go in our inner chambers, and that there we may find a place to weep out our heart, that we have sinned against such a good-doing God, and that our heart and life that is so corrupt, from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, and oh, that there may be a need born for that blessed mediator, a need born for thine only begotten Son. Oh, Lord, come now to us and unto our dear children, even though that we have sinned it all away, and we deserve not thy blessings, but we deserve thy curses. Lord, come thou for thy own great and holy name's sake, and look not upon us in our own sin, in all our guilt and corruption, but wilt thou take reasons out of thyself. Oh, look this day upon thy dear Son. Remember, O Lord, thy covenant which thou hast sworn with him, with an oath, that thou would give unto him a seed. And Lord, he has finished that work that thou gavest him to do. He has humbled himself so deeply, and he has gone that way of suffering even to give his very life. Lord, for what purpose has he accomplished this great work? Oh, is it not to pay the price
of those who had sinned against thee? Was it not to mediate between an angry God and a condemned worthy sinner? Lord, oh, that thou may apply it this day. Send forth thy Holy Spirit in the midst of us and take many unto thyself, O raise us out of the depths of darkness and the prison wherein we have brought ourselves by nature. And Lord, that thou thyself would give us that new life. Oh, should it not glorify thee, even in the very beginnings thereof? Oh, and the hungering and the thirsting may go out unto the true and the living God again. And when the cries may ascend unto heaven, when the desires, when they may beseech thee, even from the pit in which they are. O Lord, when men should cry, O Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Lord, would it not be to thy great honor and glory in the midst of this wicked world? O, we beseech thee, Lord, that thou would then come on this thy holy day, and that thou would look upon us in thy mercy. Oh, that thou would glorify thyself for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wilt thou look upon all thy children? Lord, thou knowest also their condition. They cannot give themselves anything of that grace of faith in exercise. Oh, they are of themselves so hard and so cold and so worldly and so carnal, Lord. Oh, in this morning hour may be come up to thy house so empty and so condemning themselves. Lord, everything has to come from thee. Thou art the fountain of all good. Thou wilt thou also speak unto their soul. And wilt thou open unto them as something of the blessedness of what thou hast accomplished on their behalf? Oh, that they may be given to behold thee, that they may see the blessed bridegroom, that they also may receive a little eye of faith in this morning hour, that they may behold thee. And that they may be given to see how white and how ruddy that thou art, and that thou hast done everything, that they may be given to see and to hear thee speak, and that thou may say it is finished, and that they may be given a little rest in truth on this thy Sabbath day. Oh, bring them beside the still waters, and in the fat pastures of free and sovereign grace, to the chief of the sinners in this world. Lord, then it shall become possible again. Oh, then it shall become true again for them, for whom it is a continuing impossibility. Lord, wilt thou look upon those who see nothing but mountains of sin, who see nothing but mountains of guilt, and who are not ever able to come over them? Lord, may thou reveal thyself in all thy freeness. May thou reveal thyself in who and what thou art, and that thou may give that for the first time, even in the life of those who have never seen anything of thee in truth and in spirit, in whom it is only in the mind, and that they know that there is a Redeemer, that there is a Mediator, but they know it not for their own soul. Oh, Lord, when they are in distress in this morning, when they are in the prison house and they cannot come out, oh, when they have no light in the midst of all the darkness wherein they have brought themselves, oh, that thou would appear, Lord. Oh, one ray of the inshining of thy Holy Spirit. Oh, then thy name shall be glorified, even in the midst of such a miserable and depraved souls. Lord, when it would not be known to any of us. Oh, it would be known to thee, and it would be known unto them. Then shall be the beginning of that eternal song, Lord. Wilt thou give the beginning of it to be begun to be sung in this morning hour, in the midst of us as an undeserving people? Look upon all that are afflicted and sick. Oh, we lay before thee the little child. And Lord, thou hast thus far made everything so well. And now in this morning hour, a setback. Oh, that thou hast had him brought even into the hospital once again. Lord, when we do not know what the condition is, oh, may thou watch over and protect him. And may thou give further healing for his body. A strength in the parents in these most difficult ways. Bring them before thy footstool and all that thou may give. That thy ways may be profitable for their souls also. Remember the mother and grandmother that was brought home again from the hospital in this week. Lord, wilt thou continue to heal her in her body? Oh, give her a heart that may acknowledge thee and that may seek thee and that might learn to know thee. Also in another healing, oh, that she may know the misery of her soul. She and her husband, that they may come also to know the deliverance that is in thine only begotten Son. Oh, be with all the widowers and orphans, and all those that need thee in special ways in this world. Lord, may thou be on the right and on the left. And may thou supply out of thy fullness to all those that are in distress, and those that miss their loved ones. Wilt thou draw to the missing of God? Lord, wilt thou be with husbands and wives? Oh, give. When there are difficulties also in families, thy help, oh, give a place before thee. Give self-denial and instruct in thy truth. Oh, wilt thou be with us in this morning, Lord? Oh, we stand before it again. And thou knowest, oh, what we are. Oh, Lord, we have nothing to give unto thy church, to thy people. But thou art the fullness of everything. And everything can come from thee in one moment. Lord, oh, we beseech thee, help us. Oh, give that in thy house this morning there may be a little food and drink for this one or that one that we do not know of, but whom thou knewest from that great, never begun eternity, and whom thou wilt feed, and wilt thou glorify thyself. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 88, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. The Lord I will at all times bless, in praise my mouth employ. My soul shall in Jehovah boast, the meek shall hear with joy. O magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name. When in distress on him I called, he to my rescue came. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter number 88. Congregation, our text for this morning hour you can find in the book of Genesis. Genesis, the 15th chapter, and thereof the first verse. Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. So far the words of our text. Abram's comfort in life and in death. First, the blessed declaration of this comfort. And second, the precious substance of this comfort. Abram's comfort in life and death. First, the blessed declaration of this comfort. And second, the precious substance of this comfort. Fear not, Abram. What is, congregation, the origin of fear? That is sin. Before sin was in the world, there was also no fear. As soon as children, maybe you know that too, as soon as Adam sinned, then he feared. Then we read that he hid himself. Maybe you want to do that also after that you have sinned. The world today is now full of fear. Abram also feared. How do we know that? Because the Lord says unto Abram, Fear not. And the Lord does not waste his grace. But when the Lord is coming and when the Lord is speaking in the life of his own people, then he is coming as an answer upon a need within their life. Thus, it cannot but be that there was fear dwelling in that heart of Abram. What did he fear? The scriptures are silent about it. But it is not difficult for us, when we think about his circumstances, to consider perhaps what Abram may have easily feared. What had just happened? We know that he has received that victory against that great king Chedorlaomer. And now Abram does not know what the future is. Will this Chedorlaomer return to his place? Will he strengthen his forces? And will he also return to fight again against Abram? It can be also that the Canaanites, among whom Abram has been living, that they also now, because of what Abram has done, that they also now fear Chedorlaomer. It is possible also that these Canaanites themselves have begun somewhat to fear Abram, that they have become suspicious of Abram, that they do not know what the intent or the thought of Abram is, when he has come to dwell within their land. And we know that man is also not free of envy. And so what is also living in the hearts of these Canaanitish neighbors of Abram? These possibilities, though they are not written in the Holy Scriptures, they are also very real. Because in this way, man has not changed. And we also read here in a very specific way, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram. So after what things? They are after the things that have taken place that we have read of in the last chapter. That is that victory of Abram. Fear not, Abram. It is evident that Abram did not lift up himself with his victory. If Abram is now has fear within his heart, then he feels something of the fact that it was the Lord who had given him this victory, and that that victory was not in his own strength. There was a time that Abram was very courageous. And then he may go in the might and in the strength of the Lord against this host of his enemies. But that faith is not always the same in exercise in the life of his people. And where there is fear, then faith is also defective. Because where there is that exercising of faith, then it is also casting out fear. Fear not, Abram. Maybe we also have heard such words in our life. And that one says, do not be afraid. How has that been for you in your circumstances? Makes a great difference who will speak those words to you, does it not? When you are lying on a bed, ready to go into the operating room in the hospital, whether this is said to you, do not be afraid, by a competent physician, or whether it is said to you by some well-meaning friend. When you are standing ready to go into the court, whether it is said to you by a competent lawyer, or whether it is said to you as the kind words of the desk clerk, then it makes a great difference who will speak to you these words. Do not be afraid. Fear not, Abram, who is speaking those words. That is the Lord. That is God. That is the God of the heavens and of the earth. Therefore, those words, those few words, fear not, Abram, they are not without great significance. There is no one that can make that great and mighty God to fear. And thus, it is this God who is able to take away all the fear that is lying in the heart of his church. People of the Lord, how often do you not fear? You fear enemies. You fear Satan. You fear temptation. You fear to fall. You fear self-deceit. You fear judgment. You fear an eternal condemnation. Who is now able to take away all of these fears? Can you take them away from yourself? Can your fellow man take them away from you? He is always so well-meaning. He says, you should not fear. Remember what has taken place in your life. Surely it must be well with you. You also belong at the table of the Lord. But he cannot take away your fear. And why not? Because you need to hear this from the mouth of the Lord himself. Fear not. And what a blessed declaration is this that comes out of the mouth of the Almighty God. That says, fear not. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. Fear not, for you are of more value than many sparrows. Fear not, Abram, this is the first fear not that we read of in the Holy Scriptures. What does the Lord do? He comforts Abram. That is comfort over against the fears that are laying in his heart. But the Lord does not only speak, he does not only declare to him, fear not, but the Lord goes further and he expresses the foundation why that it is that he should not fear. Thus, what this declaration is based upon, and that is actually the same substance that our fathers do express in Lord's Day 1 in the first question. This afternoon, then we hope to begin consideration of the Heidelberg Catechism again. But then we have examined that first question. Then we have seen that when we would preach, fear not, Abram, in this morning, and that first question in this afternoon, then we preach the same thing. Thus, we wish to consider this in this morning a little bit together. We will read that question also, the Lord's Day 1, the first question. And that speaks about comfort. Lord's Day 1, question 1. What is thy only comfort in life and death? Answer, that I with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins, and delivered me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me in that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head, yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation, and therefore by his Holy Spirit he assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. This answer of our fathers, that is exactly what we read in our text, and also wish to consider further in our second thought when we consider the precious substance of this comfort of the Lord unto Abram. Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. In those few words, there is comprehended the sum of all happiness. And that is in actually two parts. First, that is the protection of the Lord against every evil that can come against the people in this world. And then in the second part, that is the bestowing of every good that people can receive, both here in this world and also in eternity. Thus, the only comfort in life and in death, and that is spoken here in these few words unto Abram. Fear not, Abram. What does the Lord say? I am thy shield. Congregation, do you have a shield in your home? Probably not, boys and girls. And why not? You say, what will I do with a shield? We are not at war. Thus, what is the purpose of a shield? Shield, that is for protection. That is to protect a man against all of the attacks of the enemy that are coming against him. That shield that is deflecting all of the blows of the swords, of the arrows, of the spears that are shot at him. Children, you know that Goliath, that was a mighty warrior, and we read in the Bible that someone went before him, someone went in front of him. Who was that? That was a man, and he held his shield. Thus, that man had a particular purpose. That was to go in front, and that was to shield Goliath from any arrows that would be shot at him. So that shield that is coming between Goliath and all of his enemies. We read also in this past week how that Israel today is also building a shield. That is quite a different shield. That is a missile shield. Well, they shoot not arrows, but they shoot now missiles. And so they must do that same thing. Try to build themselves a shield against these missiles, so that those missiles are not able to touch them, that they cannot harm them. We can read of the great men of this earth, they actually have human shields. President, prime minister, then he has actually men, and they are standing around them. And they are protecting them from anyone that would shoot, anyone that would hurt this great man. Nehemiah was such a human shield, was he not? He was a human shield against any poison, because we read he was the king's cupbearer. That poison, though it came very close, though it came even to the table of that king, yet that it would not harm that king. Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield. Thus, that has to do with the protection of Abram, so that nothing is able to harm Abram, no powerful enemy, no envious and suspicious neighbor will be able to hurt him. That does not mean they will not try, because the Lord does not take away the arrows. He does not take away the weapons out of the hands of that enemy, no. But though that those weapons and those arrows, they would come within inches of the body of his people, yet those weapons shall not be able to hurt them. Oh, how did David not experience in his life that the Lord was such a shield unto him? Yes, Saul may come so close so that he may with his men completely surround him, so that David has, as it were, no place to go to escape. But David may sing how that angel of the Lord encampeth round about his people, and he delivers them. When Paul went to Corinth, then the Lord said to Paul, "Do not be afraid." He says, "I am with thee. No man shall set on thee to hurt thee." And then it is possible for the enemy to raise insurrection against him. It is possible for that enemy to bring him even before that judgment seat. But that promise of the Lord that stood so sure. "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield." There is no protection, congregation, as this shield. That is not as the shields of men. No, there are those that criticize Israel when they try to build their missile shield, because they say it will not work. And they have their reasons that they think it will not work, and possibly it is so. But when the Lord now says to us, "I am thy shield," what has then a man to fear in this world? "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield." Thus, a shield that is on every side. A shield that cannot fail. A shield to protect from all that is without, but also from all that is within. A shield not only of protection, but a shield actually also of preservation. So that powerful enemy, that is maybe even the devil himself, that he cannot penetrate into this shield. All that he has that is in thy power, the Lord says, but on himself lay not thy hand, because I will, Satan, I will be a shield about my servant. That shield that is impenetrable. "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield." Thus the Lord does not just place a shield around Abram, but the Lord says, "I am thy shield." Thus he says, "I will place myself between you and every one of your enemies. Then I will take the blows so that those blows cannot come upon you." Do you not see then the Lord Jesus Christ, how he went forth to shield his disciples? And when the enemy came, and that he speaks in his divine power, and he says, "If therefore you seek me, then let all these go their way." Do we not see him going that way of suffering to take all of the blows that his people deserve? That they are mocking, that they are insulting him, that they are slapping him, that they are hitting him, that they are spitting upon him, that they are leading him in that way of suffering, even unto death.
that he may shield his church from that same judgment that they have brought upon themselves because of their sin? Do we not see him going even to stand as that great shield, so that the very justice of God, and that is casting its blows upon him as that shield, in order that that people may be so completely free from that?
So he says, "Fear not, my people. I am thy shield. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in the judgment thou shalt condemn." This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. Oh, that righteousness as that shield all about that people. When faith may be a little in exercise, then it may be experienced what a shield that is for that church, and how that shield that is deflecting all of the blows of that prince of darkness. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, he is now that shield against every mighty arrow that the enemy would cast against the church of God. And not only the enemy, but justice itself, that unsatisfied justice of God that does make that people so to fear, that unsatisfied justice that would pierce their heart and would condemn them forever. That is a justice which he has fulfilled, and that he has declared himself that this is finished. That worldly enemy that would attack, that would condemn that people for what? For their despising of the world. But how that Christ, he says, let that people alone, because they have wrought a good work upon me. Satan, he would like to have them that he may sift them as the wheat. And what is he doing? He says, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, standing as that shield. Of themselves they would be overcome by every temptation. But he says, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield. That is then the blessed experience of that true church of God. Solomon says he is a shield to all them that put their trust in him. That is what our fathers have declared to be the true comfort of the church, a church that cannot protect themselves, that I with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation. Our soul waiteth for the Lord, David says. He is our help and our shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. That is the experience of the church. Let us sing it. Psalter 34. 1, 2, and 3. I love the Lord. His strength is mine. He is my God. I trust his grace. My fortress high, my shield divine, my Savior and my hiding place. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 34. Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Thus, we have the other part. Not only a shield that is for the protection against the enemy, but also we read here a reward that is for the bestowment of that greatest happiness. A reward. What is that, boys and girls? Maybe you have sometimes received also a reward. School, at home, your efforts, your good labors, then you were given a reward. Sometimes we use that word reward in the same way that we use the word wage or wages, thus as synonyms, but these two things are not exactly the same. Why not? Wages, they are usually considered to be equal in value to that service that we have given. Thus, we receive wages according to that service. Not only so, but wages are given actually because of that service. Rewards are not so. Rewards are not necessarily equal in value to that service that we may have provided. Neither actually are they given because of, but they are given upon something. Thus, a reward that is not earned, but a reward is actually a free gift. Often a reward, often the recipient does not even know that a reward is coming. But that value of that reward that does not depend on our labors, that value of that reward that depends on the giver, that is, whatever that giver feels in his heart to give as a reward. Sometimes that is of a great value, much more than the labors deserve. Sometimes that is actually in this world just of a little value in itself, like a pin or a ribbon or just recognition. No material substance that may be a reward. Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. What had Abram just done? Abram had just despised, turned away, rejected the rewards of this world. From his earthly benefactors that would give him now a great reward. Give us the persons and take the goods unto thyself. Abram says, not even a shoe latchet. Thus it was a rejection of the rewards of this world. And now it was after these things that the Lord comes to Abram, and he promises to Abram another reward. Because he had earned it? No. But the Lord gives him this reward so freely, and yet it was upon something. Upon what? Upon his rejection of the rewards of this world. It was upon his decided pilgrim's life. It was upon his professed desire to glorify the name of the Lord for the riches of Abraham and not to glorify man. Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Thus, not only a reward, and not only a great reward, but the Lord says, I am thy exceeding great reward. There is no reward greater than this exceeding great reward. Do you believe that, young people? Do you believe that? Have you a desire also for this exceeding great reward?
Say, what is that? What was that reward? He said, I am thy exceeding great reward. Thus God himself, not only the rewarder, not only the person who will give him this reward, but he is the reward itself. Oh, do you desire such a reward? That is now the first principle of that new life. That first principle of that new life that is going out after God. The Lord promises Abram that he will give him himself as his reward. That is the reward to be received again into the blessed communion and favor of God. That reward is to be united unto him again in a living faith. That is the reward that the Lord says, they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Or is there anything laying in our heart that desires, that goes out after such a reward? What can a man want, congregation, more than God himself? This is now what our fathers speak of in that first answer, that I am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. And therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. That is that reward. That reward of eternal felicity, eternal happiness, an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away. Can it be earned? No. Why can it not be earned? Because it is too exceeding great. Because there is nothing that is the same in value in this world by which men may receive this as his wages. No, it must be forever a reward. It must be forever coming out of that heart of God freely from his own sight. It has been earned. It has been earned already by that only begotten Son for a people who do not deserve it. And yet it will be upon something. And what will it be upon? It will be upon that rejection of this life. Abraham sought another country, Paul says. And this was directly after Abram had in his life rejected all the riches and the rewards of this world. And it was in such a way that the Lord came to manifest himself as the exceeding great reward of Abram. No, we will not lose by our rejection of the vanity and the carnal things of this world. We will not lose by it, but we will be eternal gainers by it. Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Oh, what does David say? He says, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage, he says. Why? He says, the Lord, he is the portion of mine inheritance. What a comfort. Why? Because the experience of every one of us, children,
more and more, but also in your young life. What is your experience? This world disappoints. And all your expectations in this world, they are going to disappoint. And we are so wretched that we seek it anyway. And we are slow learners. And that we still think that this world is able to satisfy. But it is not able. Here is now that reward. And that will satisfy a people to a never-ending eternity. Congregation, it is written in the Word of God. Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. But it is not the portion of everyone who reads it. No. It has to become for you and for me a personal matter. Has it ever become so? Oh, this world is full of fears. You also have fears. And what may you receive? What comfort may you have in all your fears? Did the Lord ever say to you, as he said to Abram, fear not, Abram? The Lord gave a holy jealousy of the portion of this man, a portion of that true church for time and for eternity, protection in this world, sufficient in this world to come through this world, a shield, and then an exceeding great reward. What will it be? It will be union and communion with God. David says, for the Lord, he is a sun and shield. He will give grace, that is for this life, and he will give glory. No good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly. No, not earned. That is impossible. And that people, they will learn it. They will learn it more and more through their life. But it will be given to whom? It will be given to the people who may be given to walk upon that narrow way that leadeth unto life. Oh, the Lord, give to each and every one of us that choice of Ruth by grace, people of the Lord. Oh, when once the Lord has decided, when once the Lord has taken it in his hand to defend his own people, he will never, never change his mind. He is forever the same. He is eternally unchangeable. Oh, there will be temptations. There will be falls. There will be the wiles of the devil. There will be the evils of your heart, even to the end of your life. It is going to be a warfare that will be fought to your last breath with sin, the world, your own flesh. And when the Lord is helping, and when you may feel from time to time that in those battles that the Lord gives you strength, yet you are going to learn something in it. And what is that? Your own weakness. Your own weakness. And the inability to stand, and therefore sometimes the fears. The fears, what fears? Oh, fears that it is self-deceit. Fears that I have begun with him and he has never begun with me. Fears that one day I will never enter in. Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Oh no. That church will not be the loser when they become less and less and less, and nothing. Nothing. That is now the work of the Spirit in the heart of His church. And when they have to lose all their expectation from their own side, they will not be the loser. Because when they become less and less and nothing, then He will become all and in all. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we have by nature no desire, but what a portion, what a blessed portion thou gavest unto thy servant Abram. Lord, give a holy jealousy. Oh, that still small voice may speak, Lord, in this morning. May it speak in the heart of parents, of children, of young and of old, and that it may cause that heart to yearn for that portion. Lord, remember us, forgive us our many sins, and bring us with desire to thy house in this afternoon again. Help us. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 228, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord, God of hosts, in mercy, my supplication hear, Almighty and all faithful, our Father's God, give ear, our shield and great defender. No longer hide thy face, but look upon thy servant, anointed by thy grace. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 228. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.